Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 128. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Matthew 26:40-41. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watching is a lost concept. Today, in our silly, spoiled society, watching pertains to only one pastime, and we all know what that is. Yes, television has assumed command of and consumed every available hour and is marketed to take more and more of our time in the future. So today we are well practiced to watch 1 hour. We can watch several hours at a time. If duration is the essential ingredient, all that needs to be done is to make the watching entertaining, beneficial, or stimulating enough, and we all can and will watch for hours. Sadly, many churches and ministries have gone this same entertaining route. The watching Christ calls us to is much different. Though it is tedious, it's not a matter of will. Though it is mysterious, it's not a matter of intrigue. It's a matter of being called, commissioned, or commanded to do it. There must be an unction that springs from within a person, and the cause for which one is called to watch is not always apparent to the one called. We see great advantage when we see a sign that says, No waiting. No matter why we came, no waiting is better than waiting, but only if the reason we came was to receive. Sometimes we're simply called to wait. The kind of preaching that rings the triangle dinner bell and hollers, come and get it, attempts to place a no waiting sign at the church's window as well. In conventional Christianity, we're told that God is sitting on the edge of his seat, waiting for us. We are told that he waits in anticipation for a petitioner to open his mouth so that he can respond to him. This concept, however, is not evidenced in Scripture. God was sought for audience. No one presumed that God automatically and immediately heard their prayer when they arbitrarily prayed to him for any reason. Today, we pray whenever we want, for whatever we want, with little concern for God's will and with an attitude that he owes us. If we are not so bold as to think that he owes us an answer, we at least think he's obligated to listen to our petition. Where did we get such an idea? All of the promises pertaining to God's hearing us are conditionally rendered. If we repent, if we turn, if we depart from evil, then he will hear. How are we to depart from evil hidden by the noise in our life if we never spend the time silently seeking him and waiting and watching? We fly into prayer as if God is a page boy. We pray for people to be blessed and healthy. We pray for good weather, for little league games. We pray that God will cover our mistakes in business or our missteps with relationships, and pray for him to generally bless our slothfulness. We pray for safety, that God will give us a safe journey back and forth from Las Vegas, or we ask for his protection as we go hang gliding, rock climbing, or skydiving. We ask for his miracles of health and cram ourselves with junk food, carry excess weight, and expect him to override our surfeiting lifestyles. Messages we hear from today's churches are as carnival barkers, calling step right up to whosoever will. One should feel challenged at this point to find examples of this capricious and thoughtless praying in the scriptures of truth. The salvation event, blessings, miracles, and the intervention of God's power on our behalf were done at His will, and those who sought it with tears and much humility and waiting. We're not called to bark orders to God, nor are we to ask God for miracles of weather, or healing of our wretchedly abused and overfed bodies, or to atone for our willful sin. We are called to watch and pray. Watching exposes this selfishness, and undoubtedly, this is the reason for its removal from the life of the Christian. There is a call for one to seek God, to wait for Him, and to just be still and know. Waiting worship perfectly fulfills such a call. Waiting worship is devoid of jovial commotion and excitement, and it frees one from the foolishness that is propagated by the forward motion of life. One is less apt to silliness and selfishness when one slows down and considers the gravity of the present moment. However, this concentration is difficult and uncomfortable. One squirms to be released. This same discomfort has led to activities being included in worship, like singing and verbose prayers and exciting sermons to hold the interest of worshipers. Now the worshiper may walk out of a world of entertainment into a church full of entertainment to capture their attention there. This has led the church, considering itself to be in competition with the world. Our mission is clear, to come out and be separate from the world, and we naively look to it as a pattern for our worship. The world's foolishness and noise that is designed to hold our attention every day has been given a new face and is found in worship services under the guise of keeping folks active in church. In reality, all it really accomplishes is diversion from the reality of our condition. If all that was designed for entertainment and diversion were removed from the modern church, the average attendee would fall asleep inside the hour. Any modern Christian would find themselves in the same condition as the disciples that night when they were asked to watch with Christ. He would return and find them sleeping as He did them. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? No, Master, we cannot. We need excitement, because what you called us to do is boring. We need entertainment, because what interests and motivates you does not interest us at all. No, Master, we have no cause other than our own, no interests other than ours, and we're so tired. Jesus answers, "Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." The biggest event in messianic history was about to take place, and the disciples were asleep. Without our stimulus package we receive from the world around us and from our churches, we would be asleep as well. Have you become dependent upon a caffeinated cup of praise and alarm clock preaching? As much as any drug addict who needs a fix, without it, many who insist that they know the Savior are asleep while they walk about, neither knowing what they do while they're awake, nor do they rest while they sleep. We all must come off the fix. We all must come aside and be still. In the quiet, the Lord will instruct, cleanse, soothe, and prepare us. We must wait and watch. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? What kept Christ awake at the place of prayer? What stimulated Him? Can't you watch 1 hour? the feet of those who carried Christ away to his mock trial and torture, came in the same night that they slept. The time in which we live is even more pregnant. Could we not watch 1 hour? Remember, there were 2 men in the group of 13 that night who saw no sleep. Christ and Judas Iscariot were wide awake. Both had missions. Both had stimulus to remain awake. What's yours? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.